Hey everybody, and welcome to the Create Something Awesome Today podcast. This is your host, Roberto Blake of robertoblake.com, helping you create something awesome today. Today we have an awesome show planned as usual, but today we're going to be doing something a little different. I'm going to be talking about YouTube money. As of the making of this podcast, YouTube is having some pretty major issues with advertisers. So I'm going to talk about how you make YouTube money both with and without advertising. I'll probably focus on getting away from AdSense and how you make money outside depending on the advertiser platform within YouTube and Google, because I think that it's important for creators to remain as independent as possible. And let me be honest, and I know this is going to offend quite a few people, but to be honest, relying on AdSense is a little lazy because you're putting your entire financial future in the hands of YouTube and the hands of advertisers who may or may not have your best interest at heart. You're no better off than the financial freedom that you would have with an employer in that case in terms of a regular 9-to-5 day job. So if you're looking for financial freedom, I don't think YouTube ad revenue is your real answer. I think the answer lies in diversity. It's something that the smartest and wealthiest people in the world preach constantly. People like Tony Robbins, I'm sure you guys are familiar with him. So I'm going to reiterate that in the context of YouTube, talk to you a little bit about ways that I and other creators have diversified our income streams on YouTube, become independent of the AdSense business model, and how that's going to help protect you in the best of times and in the worst of times when it comes to the YouTube platform. So if that's something you're interested, definitely stay tuned for the rest of the show. I think it's going to be amazing. But today, I need to acknowledge our awesome creator of the day. As I've said to you guys before, I like to acknowledge people, and not just YouTubers, but all artists and creative people, and today is no exception. Today's awesome creator of the day is Keith B. Dixon. He is a photographer that I happened to meet at Summit Live. We were on a panel together. He has a tremendous amount of knowledge, and his portfolio is very impressive in terms of event photography, portraits, and editorial. He is one of the smartest guys I know and is very humble. And I think you guys would really dig his content and his information, especially if you're trying to do photography or you're worried about your image at all and you want to market yourself effectively. Good photography is a part of that. So definitely check out Keith B. Dixon and all of his stuff, keithbdixon.com. I'll link everything up for you in the show notes. Make sure you check him out in Twitter and on his website. I think you guys will find his work is extremely impressive. It's nothing short of awesome. So let's get into today's show. We're talking about YouTube and how you make money on YouTube. Most people know that if you are a YouTube creator, you can go ahead and you can sign up for the Google AdSense program. What this does is it lets you monetize your YouTube videos using display advertising and pre-roll advertising. That means before your YouTube content plays, about maybe 30 to 40% of the time, 60 if you're lucky enough, there will be a video that is an advertisement that plays before your videos, just like in the movies and just like on television. And you get some money every time this happens. It's not a lot of money. On average, it's about $2 per 1,000 views. And that's just the views that happen to have the ads on them. So knowing that that is, you know, roughly 30% to 40% of your views on average for most YouTube creators, to be able to even think about making a living on YouTube, a modest living on YouTube, the far majority of creators would need to do between 500,000 and 1 million views per month, before they could even think of making a living on YouTube if they're only relying on AdSense revenue. And here's the other issue with that. That's dependent on what's going on in the world of advertising, whether the Google advertising system is working at the time, or whether the video you made is eligible to be monetized based on YouTube's terms of service or based on what the advertisers want, and whether they deem your content advertiser-friendly. So if your content is controversial, vulgar, you curse, or it has extreme violence or controversial topics, let's say that you're a news channel, or let's say that you're a channel that might be criticizing another YouTuber, even if you feel that criticism is fair, or you use some type of copyrighted material like a reaction channel or possibly a television or movie review channel, then it's possible that your videos may not be eligible for YouTube monetization and they can pull ads from your channel at any time, which if you're relying on that for your income and your living, that's a very dangerous position to be in, which is why I don't believe in relying on YouTube ad revenue. Now, a lot of you are probably wondering, well, Roberto, like, do you make a living on YouTube? You're talking all this stuff about YouTube. You've talked about YouTube before. What you guys need to understand is that I hate that question And not because I take extreme offense to it, it's because my answer forces me to sound a little pretentious. Because the answer is that I make someone's living off of YouTube. I already told you guys that I am a real entrepreneur. I'm a creative entrepreneur, and I was making money before the internet, and I was making money on the internet before YouTube, and I will be making money, God forbid, if something ever happens to YouTube. And with that in mind, I need you to understand that I make more money on YouTube than I did in corporate America, working a very reasonable job as a senior designer and then later as a marketing person in terms of being a marketing manager at a company in corporate America. I make more money on YouTube than I did in my corporate life. The same 9-to-5 job, the desk job, the job that most people would kill for, I make more money on YouTube than I did in that position. And that's through a combination of a few things. Advertisements, yes. Direct sponsorship with brands. And affiliate marketing, where I make more than both of those things. And those numbers are not insignificant. It is a very substantial and it's a very healthy living. I don't believe in telling people how much you make. One, I feel like it's bragging. And then two, it's nobody's business, except for the IRS, unfortunately. And so with that in mind, if you're so curious about what I or any YouTuber makes on YouTube in terms of our ad revenue, you can find that in Social Blade. Most of us, we're not going to tell you how much money we actually make because it's just not a practical or reasonable thing to ask somebody. I don't really need to know how much you guys make. But the reason that I had to bring it up is because people seem to want to challenge you on that when you talk about YouTube. It's the way the culture of YouTube has been, because there's so many great YouTubers out there who they absolutely deserve their success, but they've made hundreds of thousands, some of the millions of dollars, and people aspire to that. People dream of it. They say they want to be a YouTuber. They say that that's their dream and that they want to quit their day job. And they want to do YouTube full time. And I can appreciate where they're coming from. The problem that I have is that most people, because they're in that position, and many of them have not come from a background of ever doing any business online successfully before, never making real money online. I did this as a freelancer and made money online before. I did this as a consultant and still do as a consultant. I actually have clients and I charge a very significant amount of money for doing client work. And so YouTube or no YouTube, I understand what the business model of being online looks like. And a lot of YouTubers have never done that. So when they get this great opportunity to just make content that they love and put it up on a website and then see the dollars roll in every month, they feel it's great. But the problem is they're treating it like a job instead of like an online business. It's not a day job where you just show up, you do your work, and you turn it in and you wait for your check. If you run your YouTube channel, if you make YouTube your job, you're setting up for hurt the same way you would if you happen to get fired from a regular day job or the business goes under. Right now, YouTube is having some problems. Google is having some problems. So it's the same thing as instead of getting fired from your job, what if the CEO managed to, and I'm not accusing YouTube of this, what if the CEO of the job that you're working at managed to bungle or had a scandal or embezzled and the company went under and you were caught up in all of that? And your skills aren't transferable to another company or another job, or there's not another person in town that's hiring for your job position, you're in trouble. So when people hitch their wagon to YouTube and decide, oh, I want YouTube to be my job, instead of thinking of YouTube as a part of their online business, that's where they get hurt. That's where they get hurt. That's where they end up going back to their day job. That's where some YouTubers claim they're going homeless. That's what happens. And that's the problem I have with everyone who says they want to make YouTube their job and that YouTube is their dream, is because if you're not an entrepreneur, that shoe is going to drop at some point. If you're not entrepreneurial, if you're not diversifying your income, if you're not building your brand outside of YouTube, what if you built your entire brand on YouTube and something happens and your account gets hacked and you're not able to get back? Or what if something happens and your reputation is damaged? Or what happens if YouTube just bans you from the website? What do you do then? If your identity is that you're a YouTuber, what do you do then? If you have no brand outside of the identity of being a YouTuber, if you have no platform for your voice, you're vulnerable. You'll be destroyed the moment something goes wrong. And eventually, something always goes wrong. And that's the reality that a lot of people are waking up to right now, because as of the making of this podcast in April of 2016, there's an advertiser boycott going on. I have no idea in the future, if you're listening to this podcast, of what the outcome is from this advertiser boycott, but 250 brands have left YouTube, and they represent roughly 10% of all advertising within the platform. And it's a very significant amount of money. In addition to that, certain YouTube channels have been completely demonetized. It's not that their videos individually have been demonetized. Their entire channels have effectively been blacklisted. And I've warned about this happening for a long time now, potentially. There was a few controversies within the YouTube community in the early year of 2017 here. And it's unfortunate, but I predicted this a few months ago because there was a scandal involving some of the biggest YouTubers. There was more than one. There was more than one scandal involving some of the biggest long-standing YouTubers. And I'm not going to super get into that. It's pretty controversial, and a lot of people get upset whenever I bring it up. But the fact is that it put YouTube in the crosshairs of scrutiny in the business world, among advertisers, among sponsors, among businesses. They started to realize that there's some things with YouTube and the platform that they're unhappy with. There's some things with creators and the liberties that they take in representing brands that advertisers are unhappy with. And with advertising being the primary way that YouTube creators make money, that's scary. That the people who are effectively paying you, writing your checks, your sponsors, your real employers, if you're a YouTuber, well, they effectively say, we have an issue here and we're going to withhold money until the issue is resolved. And there's not a lot that creators can do about it on the surface of it. It's YouTube trying to fix things in the platform and appease the advertisers. And a lot of people outside who don't understand say, well, why don't YouTubers move to a new platform? Why don't they band together and start their own website or start their own thing? And what they don't understand is that YouTubers, most YouTubers, as I pointed out, are not business savvy. Most YouTubers are great performers, great entertainers, great on-camera personalities, but they're not business savvy, a lot of them. And I don't say that to be mean or to be condescending. I say that as a point of reality, in the same way that actors and actresses, we've seen actors and actresses that can't manage their business, can't manage their brand, can't manage their money, and we've seen what happens to them and how unfortunate it is because they're very talented. YouTubers are no different. YouTubers are that new celebrity class, and unfortunately, because of their great independence. The great independence we have as content creators without managers and handlers and talent people. The reality is there's also a lack of information among those YouTubers to protect them when the worst should happen. They don't have people who are in a position to give them the advice that they need on how to navigate this and how to position themselves. There are YouTubers that went from making literally thousands of dollars a day to now they're making zero. They're making zero. Their entire revenue stream dried up, and a lot of them are turning to Patreon support and asking their fans to donate to them, and that's a legitimate way to fund your channel and stay independent, and I encourage more YouTubers to pursue that, and I encourage the fans that if you have creators that you want to support and you want to keep them around, then it might be worth shelling out a buck or two a month to your top five favorite channels. Pay $10 a month and support your favorite channels. That's your vending machine money. You know, that's your candy money. I know things are usually tight and hard for everybody, but if all of some of these people with 100,000, 50,000 subscribers, if all of their people or even a fraction of their people donate even a dollar a month, these creators can stay afloat and stay independent until this is all worked out or until they get business savvy and they can figure something else out for themselves. And so I think that if you want a free and diverse internet that's not always beholden to corporate interest, then as consumers, we have to put our money where our mouth is. If we want cool stuff on the internet, we have to subsidize it. And when the ads aren't cutting it, we have to step up or the things that we love are gonna die. It's like why I tell people about supporting the arts and donating to art schools and donating and doing charities whenever someone has an art auction or an art show going on to support that, because that's what creative people need. They need support, and support's not just thumbs ups and likes and shares and views. Support is putting your money where your mouth is, even if it's just a little bit, even if it's just the money that you would usually spend on M&Ms, okay? So I think that that matters. Now, what can creators do for themselves aside from going to their fans for support through sites like Patreon.com or using PayPal and GoFundMe, et cetera, et cetera? Well, there are a few things they can do. One of the things that I'm a fan of is using affiliate marketing systems. And the way affiliate marketing works is if you have something that you believe in and that you want to advocate for, you can use a link, usually like for an Amazon product or some other service or what have you. And if someone in your audience decides to buy that thing using your link, you get a small percentage of that. It could be 4% up to 10%. Some things have 30% attached to them or a flat rate. And that's cool because if your audience was already going to buy those things, at least you're getting a share of the profit because you introduced it to them. Tech reviewers on YouTube are usually safe whenever anything happens with ads because this is the primary way that tech reviewers make their money aside from sponsorships. Tech reviewers make their money through sponsorships and also through affiliate marketing using websites like Amazon, BH Photo Video, Newegg, and eBay. And I like to also use kit.com because it lets me aggregate all of my affiliate programs through a single linking system. Not to mention it makes it look prettier, so it's easier for my end users to navigate. If you guys want to check out all the tech that I've been reviewing and also the books that I've been reviewing for business, then you can go to kit.com/RobertoBlake, and then you can buy it from Amazon, B&H, whoever you want, just by clicking on the links. And it lays everything out for you. I've reviewed about roughly 100 different business books that helped me build my business, both online and offline, things that helped me become a public speaker, things that helped me build my client consultancy, things that even helped me with my freelance career early on. So those are the kind of books that I usually read aside from Game of Thrones. But you know, you can check that all out at kit.com/RobertoBlake. And if you want to see all the YouTube gear that I use, then you can go to robertoblake.com/YouTube gear. See, the way that I just did that is not a sponsor plug. That's me telling you how to get to my affiliate links. And then with my affiliate links, if you decide to buy any of those things, like you decide to buy the microphones that I use for this podcast, you decide to buy the cameras that I use for the YouTube channel, then you're supporting me. When I do a laptop review, even if you buy a different laptop using my link, I usually get as much as $25 for every laptop sale. So when I do my laptop buyer's guides, where I just even give you guys general advice on what to look for in specs and what the top brands that I recommend are, and then individual models of laptops, or I review a new laptop, then you guys are actually able to support the channel, and I make usually, I would say, hundreds of dollars a week just on the laptops alone. When I do articles for microsites, and blog post outside of YouTube, that works the same way. When I use affiliate links to recommend the books on this podcast, it works the same way. When you guys go and you click to see the podcasting gear that I use, it works the same way. So YouTubers can diversify their revenue in a couple of different ways with affiliate marketing. One thing they can do is use multiple affiliate programs. I use more than Amazon. I also use Bluehost because I use them as my hosting company. I recommend them to you guys if you want to build your online business, your online store, your blog, or whatever. So when I tell you guys, hey, go to robertoblake.com/Bluehost. You can go ahead and build a WordPress site, or you can use their site builder, or you can buy a domain name so that you own your own .com, you own your personal brand, etc., etc. When I tell you that, what happens is I get a commission from Bluehost, and I use them anyway for my web hosting. So if you have something you believe in using, especially if you're like a beauty guru on YouTube, you're somebody who's into geek culture, you could then put out the shirts and so on and so forth. There's all these great opportunities for you to advocate for the brands that you love and do the affiliate marketing. The other good side of that is when you're doing that, maybe some of them pick you up for sponsorship and they pay you directly. Brand deals with YouTube are really interesting, and not every one of them is based on you having a high subscriber count. Not all of them are based on a high view count. Some of them care about whether you're a subject matter expert or if you're part of a niche community, a very special community that like they're really focused on growing. That is advantageous to them. But if you don't know how to negotiate and you don't know how to put together a presentation deck, you end up getting not great brand deals. You might get some free products, which is always good, but you know, you might get lower figures on that, but I've known YouTubers with small channels, 30,000 subscribers, that because they're a niche market for the right brands, they've gotten $5,000 and $8,000 brand deals per video. I've known people to get $5,000 to put together a 4-episode series with a brand integration before. So there's a lot that's on the table for YouTubers if they can navigate well and they get some business savvy under them so that they're independent of the advertising. Because if you can get a few brand deals. Let's say you don't even have a big audience. Let me give you a business model for sponsors here. So So if you want to approach a sponsor, I would recommend if you're a smaller channel, maybe you have 10 to 50,000 subscribers, offer to do a set of 4 or 5 videos where you mention the brand as the sponsor of today's episode at the beginning of the YouTube video, and you could probably charge them $300 for that, just to mention at the beginning, but bulk sell it. Bulk sell them, hey, that's the price if you commit to doing 4 videos with me. So you'll get 4 videos and they will be around, and make sure there's something that's not going to like be done and over within a week, because you have to pitch them as like, hey, I'm doing some evergreen videos. These are videos that people are going to search on and click through for the next 6 months, the next year, because it's going to stay relevant, right? So I'm going to give you that. Buy 4 of them at $300 a piece. If you buy them individually, it'd be $400. You make a bulk offer, then you're able to get $1,200 from them. Or they might haggle you down and say, well, we'll do the 4 with you, but we want to pay you $1,000. Done. That means you got an extra $1,000 that month on top of whatever you were going to get with ads, whatever you were going to get with affiliate. I would say that you offer them that price and say, hey, whatever the tracking link is, I want it to be an affiliate link. I want a commission for every sale, which means that I've got skin in the game. However I'm able to perform for the brand, my upside is tied to that, and that's why I can give you this deal. That's smart negotiating, and they like that because it's like, oh yeah, you're not just going to take our money. You want to make more money. You want to cut. Okay. And so then that's proper negotiating. Again, this is business stuff, business 101, frankly, and most YouTubers do not know how to do this. They do not understand what a bulk ad buy is. They don't know what a campaign is, and that's more than one video. It didn't even occur to them a lot of times that they could put together a presentation deck and break out the rates and break out the different offerings, because what I just told you about is how to sell mentions and plugs. That's not even a dedicated review video. That's not even a dedicated brand integration with product placement. That's just to mention the product and do like a 10 second or 15 second plug at the beginning or end of a video. That's it. And I just told you how to sell that in bulk and get $1,000. Now, if you were going to do a dedicated video, you charge more for that. If you're going to do a dedicated brand integration and you're between like maybe 10 and 50,000 subscribers, I recommend charging upwards of $500 to $800 for that. I honestly believe in that. And here's part of why. What brands do when they hire actors and actresses to do what's called industrials, which is just internal marketing. Internal marketing that's going to be company only or industry only, meaning the general public will never see these videos. They pay those actors and actresses $500 to $800 per day for like a 2 to 4 hour workday. Okay. And that usually means they're only end up producing like, you know, maybe 1 or 2 things. So you can charge an approximate rate similar to that as the talent, because you're also doing the video editing and the production and yada yada for an individual video. So knowing what the actor's rates are for something like that and using that as a point of reference, and when you're negotiating, you could even bring that up. That is how you do it. And in having a presentation deck, you could break out, okay, here's why I charge for mention and plugs, and here is what you get with that. Here's why I charge for a dedicated brand integration. Here's why I charge for a product review if the product's value is between $200+ to $2,000. Here's what I charge if the product that you have me reviewing's value is higher than that. Here's what I charge if the product or service is lower than that. You break these things out, you make it very clear for the sponsors. And so that's how you do it for mentions and then dedicated brand integrations. And then I would say that you could also have something in terms of a special rate for them sponsoring a series or a bulk ad buy. One of the cool things about me having this podcast is in the future, I could go ahead and add to my deck and say, hey, I'll give you a special rate if you also want to sponsor my podcast in addition to my YouTube channel. Or with having your own website, you can say, hey, I have a bulk deal. You'll get sponsorship on the YouTube channel in the form of a mention or plug or a dedicated brand integration, and here's what that price would be. But also, I can include for a higher rate, run-of-site advertising for a month on my website in these banner locations is where your banner will show up, in addition to me writing an article about your thing, okay? And hey, I have an email list. This is why I keep telling YouTubers to get an email list going. You could then say, hey, I'm going to send the video out to my entire email list where I have another 5 or 10,000 people. And that's a direct email that you'll be featured in. And I'll have a link and I'll have the video embedded in the email and you'll be there. So that's what you'll be. And maybe I'll include another link in another email push. So maybe you'll be in there twice for the month. You can offer that and add that to the bill, okay? So all of a sudden, you've got these multiple things that you're able to offer, which makes you more attractive to a sponsor. So you have the email list as an option, you have the podcast as an option, you have the website as an option, you have the YouTube channel as an option. Guess what? You're now competitively more attractive than everybody who's just a YouTuber and just offering sponsorship on their YouTube channel. And with a presentation deck, which you could put together in Google Slides, you go to google.com/slides and put together a nice presentation deck saying, here's my YouTube channel. Here's what my audience's age brackets are. Here's where I've converted for other brands. Here's the list of the other brands I've worked with. Here are my press features and the websites that featured me and articles that have been written about me, or here's where I was on television. Here is what my average views are per this type of video. Here's what my average views are for this type of video. Here are some of my most popular videos that align with your brand. Boom, 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 boom. And all of a sudden, a sponsor says, okay, I'm into that. I can make a decision, or I can walk this into my boss. So that's how you do high-level sponsor deals. You want to stop getting $100 sponsor deals. You want to start getting $1,000, $2,000, $5,000, $10,000 a sponsor. You have to step your game up like that. And that's why some people who aren't business savvy, they end up shelling out some of their YouTube money to have a manager or a talent agency because they wouldn't know how to do that. Even with me telling some of you may not just not have the chops or the business savvy for that. And I recommend you use some of the books that are in the show notes. I'm linking up some books like Start Your Own Business. I'm linking up some books on negotiation. There's some things that I really think you guys need to learn and understand unless you just want to be a YouTuber, rely on AdSense, and get hurt every time YouTube changes the system or every time advertisers pitch a hissy fit. I think you need to develop a real business model. And that means you have to diversify your revenue, and sponsorships are part of that. Affiliate marketing is part of that. Don't rely on AdSense. It is lazy, and you're going to get hurt. There are YouTubers getting hurt right now. And you can't just rely on your fans, because what if they're all broke? What if they don't have the money? Or what if they love your content for free, but they're not willing to pay for it? Well, that's why that's a problem. So we've looked at four ways you can make money on YouTube. We talked about AdSense and why that's a problem. We talked about the vulnerabilities of asking your subscribers for money. Maybe they abandon you, or maybe they don't support you, or maybe they wildly support you, but you're rolling a dice there. Affiliate marketing, it's if they like the products that you're recommending and they want to buy them, or they like what you're doing and they want to copy it and have the same things. If you're a tech YouTuber or a photographer or a filmmaker or a beauty guru, you already know affiliate marketing works, and it works really well. Most of the people in those categories make double or triple what they make on ad revenue. I know I do. Whatever I make in ad revenue, I usually double it in affiliate marketing every single month. So, and that's across multiple affiliate deals, by the way. That's not just Amazon. That's like Amazon, Bluehost, HostGator, Wix, what else? TubeBuddy. There's ConvertKit. There's like 10 affiliate programs that I'm involved with, and I make so much content that that's an easy thing for me. And again, I'm not just on YouTube. I have a podcast that converts content. I have an email list with almost 10,000 subscribers that converts content. I post on multiple websites and blogs as a contributing writer, you know? So I have multiple vehicles. I have niche microsites you guys have never even heard of. I own like 10 websites you've never heard of that make me money. That's how I diversify beyond YouTube. That's how I make money beyond YouTube. And if you want to remain successful and keep your channel afloat in the worst of times, I recommend you do likewise, ladies and gentlemen. I recommend you do likewise. Now, there are a lot of you who say, well, Roberto, I'm not a business person. I didn't get in YouTube to be a corporate suit. I just want to make my content. I just want to make my funny videos. I just want to do my stuff. And I thought that there was a future in that. It's like, I hate to break it to you. It's the same as being an actor or an actress. It's all dependent on a very fickle marketplace that you don't control. And what I'm trying to advise you to do is things that will give you back your control and give you back your power. And if you don't want to do that, if you're not up for the work, then, you know, hats off to you. God bless. Godspeed. Best of luck. I don't know what'll happen to you because we can't control the platform. We can't control the advertisers. I don't know what to tell you in that case if that's what you want to do. Here are some other options, though, beyond what I just outlined. Now, one of the things you can do that is, in my opinion, a very smart thing to do is you need to make your own product of some kind. For information-based YouTubers, this is pretty easy because they can make what we call info products. These can exist in the form of ebooks and online courses, video guides, audio guides, workshops, virtual training, that sort of thing. The consultants in YouTube have a great business model around that in terms of like the SEO guy and gals, the YouTube marketers, the online educators, the photography community, the filmmaking community, the audio engineers, the live stream engineers and technicians and producers. The people with technical skills, oh, they know how to make money left and right. They know how to commoditize information. For the rest of you who are not that type of YouTuber, you're an entertainer, it's going to be harder for you to build a product, but it's not impossible. Many of you will go to the merchandise route. And the merchandise route takes the form of building a popularized brand or having a persona and a character and being able to make t-shirts and mugs and hats and that sort of thing. Some of you will do bobbleheads. Some of you will do plush dolls. That kind of thing is very lucrative if you can get it right. Amazon is doing some interesting things with Amazon merch now. So Amazon merchandise is allowing people to make that order on demand. And it's actually really lucrative. It's actually a little better than some of the print-on-demand t-shirt companies. The YouTube art community, in terms of artists and illustrators and painters and digital artists, those people actually know how to do print-on-demand products and artwork commissions and do very well there because they remember the hustle of being a freelancer and making their money off that anyway pre-YouTube. So YouTube becomes a very much a marketing platform for them to scale that. So the art community in YouTube will be just fine. Now, it becomes a little harder when you're a pure entertainer and you're something like a comedian or you're a YouTube gamer. That, you're going to have to get people to fall in love with you and then buy your merch. They're going to have to donate to you in Patreon. You're going to have to get sponsors. You're going to be more beholden to advertisers than most people. The best thing for you is to actually make money outside of YouTube with your talent, and that would probably come in the form of, if you're a gamer, hopefully you're good enough to compete in tournaments because that could be a thing, or you're able to put together some event of your own, put together some kind of gaming event and charge tickets using and leveraging your personality. That could be a thing. Or you could possibly, if you have enough money that you've made off of YouTube, if you have a personality to build it around, you could build an app. PewDiePie did this successfully, built a small gaming app. You pay some developers. There are sites where you can do that pretty cheap now, and you can make money that way. Just don't go the free with ads route because ads are vulnerable everywhere, not just YouTube now. Ads are vulnerable everywhere, so better charge 99 cents and have some in-app purchases there. That'd be my recommendation. So if you're a YouTube gamer, I say build a persona, build a personality, and then get a community that loves games to buy your game. Other than that, you're going to have to sell merchandise. Other than that, you're going to have to get sponsors, or if you, you know, on the side are kind of a comedian, maybe you can get some comedy bits, and maybe you could do a little bit of acting, and then you make some real money there. If you are a YouTube gamer or comedian, and you have a great voice, I recommend going to websites like Upwork. I recommend going to, I think, voices.com. I recommend going to websites and contracting as a voice actor. If you don't want to get a 9-to-5 job, but YouTube isn't cutting it, use your skills outside of YouTube. If you're good at editing, sell your skills as a video editor to YouTubers that are still making money, people like me. You're a video editor? Reach out to people like me and try and see if we have some extra work for you to do and that we can pay you. You can make some decent money there, especially if you're fast. If you're fast, you can make some pretty decent dough. There are a lot of YouTubers right now that suck at editing anyway, and most they outsource their editing anyway. There are some pretty popular YouTubers with 3 and 4 and 5 million subscribers that they have people who write their scripts. They have people who edit their videos. They have people who do a lot of things for the back end of their channel, and they just pay for it because they've got the money. So outsource yourself to other YouTubers in the community or to businesses that want to come to the platform. That would be my answer, is use your skills outside of YouTube, and maybe that's something that would help you. So you have some options there. Sell a real service outside of YouTube and market that. You can sell a product, you can sell a service, sell, sell, sell. That's how money gets made in the real world, both online and offline. Sell something. So that would be one of my answers. Now, there are some other things you could do that I think are interesting. If you are the type of YouTuber that's in the education space, then you could possibly become a public speaker. And if you become a public speaker and you have the chops, you'll have to start probably sometimes for free. I started paid. And you can get like, you know, $1,000 when you're starting out per speaking gig, plus free travel and some other perks. Once you get a few dozen gigs under your belt, you can start doing $5,000 and $10,000 speaking gigs as you elevate yourself. If you write a book, usually a print book, but if you write a book, you can raise your speaking fees. The fastest way to become a $10,000 public speaker is to become at least an Amazon bestseller. And if you can do that and put out a book, one, with a book, you have another revenue stream. And then two, you've elevated your public profile as a speaker. And then sometimes, even if they can't meet your speaker fees, they'll buy a bunch of your books and you'll do a book signing at the event. So that gives you an option. Plus, you could always make deals with your local bookstore and do book signings and appearance fees. And that could also elevate your public profile. You might even be able to get some local television buzz with your local news affiliate. So if you have something interesting, it doesn't even matter what your subscriber count is. If you're doing something interesting enough and you have a book in you, I recommend writing a book. Use Amazon's Create Space, write a book. If you can't afford to completely get it print published, well, actually, that's pretty affordable with Amazon Create Space, because technically, even with hiring an editor and getting them to do all the design, you could get a whole book published. Instead of paying $20,000, you could, or being beholden to whether a publisher wants to publish you and whether they turn you down, you could do it for about $800 to $1,200 and get a real quality book in hardcover or paperback put out there and have it edited so you don't look bad. So I would recommend doing that, especially if you want to become a speaker, but even in its own right, you might make some money off the book. And it can always just raise your public profile, and that's not a bad thing. So those are some options for you in terms of making real money in YouTube. I think that if you rely on ads, you're just waiting to get hurt. If you rely on ads, you're waiting to get hurt. But if you create something that you can sell, whether it's books or courses or a product, or if you're a designer, you can do templates. I know a lot of designers hate templates, but guys, I believe in selling a product. Services, creative services, client services, it's feast or famine. Advertising is feast or famine. So I like the idea of having something you can control with your own hustle by making something for which there is a demand and then selling it, especially if it's digital, you have unlimited inventory. So I really believe in that because it's a reliable, proven business model and it's scalable. It could exponentially make you money. And so why not? So that's the things that I recommend. I recommend that besides advertising, you look at going directly to your audience and seeing if they will support you via things like Patreon. I think you make merchandise that they might be interested in buying to support your brand and because they think it's cool. I think you look at how to build a real relationship with sponsors and think about how you can scale your sponsorship relationships to making $5,000 or $10,000 a month. I think that making a presentation deck is part of that. I think that making some initial videos that would attract sponsors that show that you can be a good product reviewer or that you could be a good brand ambassador works. I think that if you tie that to affiliate marketing, that if you sell enough of their product, you can go, hey, look, Mr. Sponsor, I already been talking about your products and services, and I've already made you guys a lot of money. Look at how I convert for you. And I'm not even repping the brand officially. Imagine if you guys were working with me, I could do a lot more for you. And so you make those kind of presentation, you get the negotiation skills. And I think that that makes a real difference in your outcome. I think it makes a real difference in your revenue. And it's what's worked for me. It's worked for me. Whenever I do decide to focus on doing sponsorship stuff for a month, I can make a few grand a month in sponsorships. I do, without trying very hard, I make a few grand a month in affiliate deals. I make more than I do on ad revenue, usually two times as much on a good month than I do on ad revenue. And so I have a substantial business there. But the thing is, I also use the leverage of my personal brand to get speaking engagements. I use the leverage of my personal brand to do client services work. I've built a marketing consultancy that's not just about YouTube, by the way, not just about my YouTube subscriber count. It's about the fact that I know video production. I've made over 1,000 videos. It's about the fact that I understand how social media works and how to build a following in the other platforms. It's that I understand search engine algorithms and that I was a blogger before I was ever a YouTuber. I was a web designer before I was ever a YouTuber. YouTuber. I understand visual branding because I used to make billboards for a living, and my billboards were with an agency that used to have the work put up in Times Square for like HBO boxing and stuff and for some documentaries. So I understand enough things that I found a way to commoditize my skills that existed outside of YouTube, use YouTube as marketing leverage, and then I sell them. And so that's another option. You can take your video editing chops and sell them to other people. You can take your audio editing chops and sell them to other people. You can take your video filming and photography skills and sell them to other people. If you are a personality on YouTube and you have a tremendous voice, you can sell voice acting online and make a killing doing the intros to someone's podcast or to their commercial or their jingle. So there is a tremendous opportunity for you to build your business and brand beyond YouTube, because relying on one platform and relying on the advertising revenue to just make you money in your sleep is a vulnerability, it's a little lazy, and you're just waiting to get hurt if you do that, because anything can happen, and we've already seen it happen. So I would say that you have to really take this seriously. If you want to be successful in YouTube, you can't just remember the old ways, and you can't just look at the anomalies. Not everyone is going to be a PewDiePie. Not everybody is going to be a Niga Higa. Not everyone is going to be a Lily Singh. There are people in the YouTube middle class who have been here for 5 years and understand exactly how all this works. They've seen everything, and people don't listen to their advice because, well, they don't have 1 million subscribers, as if that matters. The thing is, they've understood how to play the long game. And I think that if you really understood that there are YouTubers with 20 and 30,000 subscribers that make more money than YouTubers would have 1 million subscribers, because those people only rely on ad revenue, and these other people that are smaller YouTubers in the YouTube middle class have figured out how to diversify their income, how to scale their income, how to negotiate better, how to be real businessmen and real businesswomen. I think it would blow your mind, and I'm really thinking that I might do an interview show on my YouTube channel probably after this summer, after I move, where I actually interview, even if it's just a mini series. I think I'll interview a lot of these smaller creators in the middle class, people with under 500,000 subscribers that are making a crap ton of money or have run a successful business and used YouTube as leverage, so that you guys understand how this really works, and that's not just about getting views, getting ads, going viral, that there's a lot more to it than that, and that YouTube is a breeding ground for entrepreneurs if you want to be smart about it and you want to be successful. But if you're just out to go viral and be YouTube famous, the minute the fickle, fickle marketplace that is YouTube turns on you, whether the advertisers sell out and betray us, whether the YouTube platform has a technical glitch or difficulty that undermines your particular genre of YouTube, or whether the fans just abandon you, you're waiting for that shoe to drop. If all you are and all you desire to be is a YouTuber, you are on a countdown to getting punched in the mouth. And if you don't understand how to do real business beyond YouTube, you're going to have a glass jaw when that punch shows up. And I don't want that for you. I don't want that for you, but I honestly know, and I honestly believe, and not everyone will want to hear it, that the majority of YouTubers have a glass jaw right now. And I would like to educate enough people on how to take a punch, because I want this platform to succeed. I want these people to succeed because they have so much talent. They have so much passion. And I remember what it was like to be in the corporate world and not feel in control of your destiny, not feel in control of your time and your energy and your life. And I understand that YouTube offers people that escape. Now, for me, client services did it more, and freelancing did it more before YouTube was substantial enough to do it. And that's why I still go there. I still run a real business, because what if YouTube goes belly up tomorrow? Well, YouTube goes belly up tomorrow. I still have multiple platforms, multiple websites, and clients and services outside of YouTube that make thousands of dollars. I might scale back lifestyle stuff just a little bit. I don't live above my means anyway, but guess what? I would survive. I would survive, but I cannot say that about 90% of YouTubers. 90% of YouTubers will not survive if the platform died tomorrow. You know, they will not be able to figure it out. They won't know where to put their voice. They won't know what to do. They will be bereft. And a lot of them will be on a very short road to, well, how do I pay rent? And I don't want that for people. That sounds terrible. But I think that if you listen to the advice that I gave in this particular episode of the podcast, I think if you listen to the advice that I've been giving on YouTube for years now, then you will be okay because you'll have so many other options available to you and you will feel confident in your ability to conduct business. It's why I do the Small Business Saturday videos. It's why my channel is not just how to grow a YouTube channel. It's why my videos are not just how to be a graphic designer. It's why my videos aren't just how to use your camera. It's because I really want people who are creative to have the ability to be successful at being creative. That is the entire thesis of Create Something Awesome Today and the entire thesis of my channel and the Always Be Creating philosophy. It's about being in control so that you always are in position to be as creative as you want to be and do things on your own terms. That's what I wanted for myself. That's what I want for other people. And I want to empower you to do that. But doing that sometimes is going to be telling you things you don't like that you don't want to hear. And usually success requires more work than makes us comfortable. I really believe in that more than anything, more than I believe the sun is going to come up tomorrow. I believe that success and what we want is on the other side of being massively uncomfortable. I mean, you don't believe me? Ask an athlete. Ask anyone who's in the gym life, okay? Success, guns, abs, it's all on the other side of pain and discomfort and sweat. And so, don't be lazy. Do not be lazy. You only have one revenue stream. Get yourself three or five that are equal or greater than that one revenue stream. You'll feel better. You'll sleep easier. Whenever I open up my phone and I look at the bank account, I feel a lot better knowing that if one thing goes away, there are 20 other things that make it up. So that's my advice to you guys. Diversify your revenue in the ways that we talked about. I'll link up some of my YouTube videos in the show notes that can help you out with that, that go into specifics on things like affiliate revenue and sponsorship. I have some other products that I'm getting ready to create that probably will help you guys. There's also a course that Tim Schmoyer put out. I'm still in the process of reviewing it. I haven't gone through the entire course yet, so until after this episode's already out, at some point I'll update the show notes and I'll have a link to Tim Schmoyer's course because he tells you how to be a full-time YouTuber and how to diversify your revenue in the ways that I outlined, plus many more. He's one of the smarter people when it comes to this, and I have a lot of respect for his information. So if it's April 6, 2017, then this episode may not have that show notes linked up, but if it's at least a week or two after the initial episode is aired, then I've updated the show notes to have a link to Tim's course for you guys, because I only recommend products that I've actually used or that I have a great understanding of or that have been recommended to me by somebody that I trust. And I absolutely trust Tim's information. I just know you guys are skeptical about any course because, yeah, there are people out there who are scammers, but Tim is one of the best people I know in terms of a YouTube expert, aside from myself, Daryl Eves, Sonny Lanarduzzi, Amy Schmittauer. So I trust his information more than anybody, I think. So I'm going to recommend Tim's course, but I'll link it up later for you guys. Anyway, I hope you guys appreciate this episode. I know it went much longer, probably three times longer than every other episode of the podcast, but we had a lot to cover. I hope that it helps you guys be more successful on YouTube. I hope you understand that it's very entrepreneurial and that you have a real shot. You have a real opportunity here, but it's going to be predicated on hard work, not luck. If you're waiting on advertisers and going viral, you're putting your fate in the hands of luck, and that's a formula that's bound to lose at some point. Your luck will run out. And I don't want that for you. I want you to be in control. I want you to create awesome things, share them with the world. And I want you to make a crap ton of money doing it. And I want you to help other people. Well, I hope you guys got some value out of this. If you enjoyed the episode, definitely leave me a comment. If you're over in SoundCloud, leave me a review over in iTunes. This has been Roberto Blake. And hopefully, I've helped you create something awesome today. Take care.